before I would end any entry, I would say, you know, we may have had, you know, been at odds with each other today, but I just want you to know, I am so grateful for you about this. And I would begin to put a list down. And the oddest thing happened. By the time I went upstairs from my office, all of that heat and emotion that I'd been feeling somehow left.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. I'm thinking today is going to be a great day.
I do too.
For a couple of reasons. The couples we have sitting around the table, we'll introduce them in a second. But whenever you get to sit with the pros, the best in the world at what they do and learn from them, mm-hmm. that's a good day.
Right. And this is, we have the pros today.
We have the pros. We've been, the pros are sitting around the table, but we're going to watch a segment of Married with Benefits, our podcast with Family Life, which is Brian Goins with Shanti Feldhahn.
But we also have joining them.
Jeff,
her husband.
He's coming in remote, but they're talking about their book, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Couples, which is, it's a long story to try and understand this, but they found the most happy marriages. They call them highly happy, crazy term, and they're very satisfied in their marriages. So it's like, what do they do? What are their habits? And she calls them secrets that they have. Today's secret, this is a weird term, in my opinion, boss your feelings. The highly happy couples boss their feelings. What in the world does that mean? We're going to find out right now. And then we're going to interview these couples around the table and get your response to what they say. So you guys ready?
Ready.
All right, you're ready. Yep. Let's watch Shanti, Jeff, and Brian and find out what boss your feelings means.
Secret is that you can actually learn to boss your feelings around rather than just feel your feelings. Like, oh, they're my feelings. I just feel them. But your guys are saying you discovered, no, you can actually boss your feelings around.
We had a study group as part of this research project where Jeff and I were talking to not just people who were the happiest couples, but within that group, there were people who had gone from being pretty in a pretty, pretty desperate spot in their marriage. And now they were part of this highly happy group. I wanted to talk to them in particular. I'm like, what changed? And this one woman said, I realized for our whole marriage, I was letting my feelings boss me around. And I decided, no, I'm going to boss my feelings around.
And specifically about her husband.
About her husband. Mm-hmm. That was a great way of like capturing it. And so when we tested it statistically, we kept seeing it in these happy couples and we kept seeing examples of doing something that literally changed their train of thought.
Are you telling me that this is across the board, regardless of personality type?
Regardless.
You can boss your feelings around.
Regardless of temperament. One of the things that we had been nervous about all the way through the research was this question of temperament. And then something happened, because remember, we had discovered we were in this highly happy marriage where it hadn't always been that way. And suddenly we're like, wow, we really are in this highly happy marriage. And what got us there? And we realized it was something that Jeff had done without realizing it would radically change the course of our marriage.
I wish there was a strategy or a plan that I had to do this and accomplish this task. But really what it came from was when Shanti turned 39, I got into my head that, you know, her 40th birthday, that's a pretty big milestone. She's the type of person that loves getting gifts. So I decided that I would write her a book, essentially, which would be a year in the life of Shanti. And I would diligently record every single day of her 39th year and what transpired in our life, what transpired in her life, with our kids, with between us, all of those things. What I would do is I would make little notes throughout the day, and then at the end of the day, I would go down to my home office and sit in front of my computer and type it all out into, you know, a Word document.
And I should say, I had no idea he was doing this.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be very accurate of the particular day. And there were days when Shanti and I weren't on, so to speak, the same page.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of emotions flying around. I would get down to my home office in quite a mood, you know, feeling pretty chapped about something. And I would just be sitting there hammering away at the keys and going, you know, and then you said this and it made me feel this way. So as I was doing this for a week or two, I got this thought that, you know, maybe our kids will read this in 25 or 30 years and they'll go, Dad, you were kind of a jerk at some of these moments. So I wanted to kind of be honest about what had transpired, but I also wanted to, in each entry, say something positive. Before I would end any entry, I would say, you know, we may have had, you know, been at odds with each other today, but I just want you to know, I am so grateful for you about this. And I would begin to put a list down. And the oddest thing happened. By the time I went upstairs from my office, all of that heat and emotion that I'd been feeling on the way down somehow left.
Wow.
And I didn't really recognize it. All I knew was that I felt better. I didn't connect the dots.
Yeah. So when did you connect those dots? I mean, that's a pretty big statement that you went down the stairs feeling one way about your wife. You came back up the stairs. The only thing that changed is that you wrote down a few words.
Yep.
When we were hearing other couples talk about their relationship in this research. Mm. And it was like, that's what it was, Shanti. That's what we did.
What he was basically doing was literally changing his mind.
Yeah.
He was literally changing the course of his thoughts, and it changed the course of his feelings.
I wasn't changing my thoughts with wishful thinking about Shanti. I was remembering the truth about Shanti, about the things that she does so well that I often just take for granted. We all have them. Every marriage has them. Every husband has those thoughts about his wife. Every wife has those thoughts about her husband. But we forget to look at them. We need to remind ourselves.
Wow. So let's talk about boss, your feelings. We got the Markhams here. Bobby and Rebecca Markham are sitting over here. 25 years,
yes.
Five kids,
yes.
On staff of Family Life. You still in love with each other?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Even more
very
now.
Much.
Even more now than, what do you mean? More than when?
Just several years ago, God transformed our marriage. And so since then, we've grown in our love for one another.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to come back to that in a second, because I want to know if transforming your marriage had anything to do with bossing your feelings. Because on the other side, we've got almost a newlywed couple. I mean, you've been married 2 years now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Christian and Maddie Villafane. Yep. 2.5 years? You got to get that extra 6 months?
Yeah.
Now, when you hear that, what do you think? Are you guys like madly in love?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're filled with so much admiration for Bobby and Rebecca because they happen to be our mentors, you know, so we look up to them, and that fills us with so much hope. You know, as much as we're in love now in 25 years, it'll be that much more.
All right. Let's talk boss your feelings. When you heard that and tried to, you know, grasp that concept, what hit you? Anything jump out? Do you agree with it? Do you do it? Is it hard? Is it easy? What do you think?
It's hard. Yeah, it's very hard.
Why do you think it's hard, Bobby?
Every time we have situations where you either boss your feelings or you don't, it's literally the Galatians 5, flesh and spirit. I feel it inside.
Yeah.
I really do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be big, explosive issues. It can be the small things. And then all of a sudden, you feel this tension inside, waging war of, am I going to do this for the good of us? Or am I going to stand my ground? Oftentimes, I stand my ground. And
because we feel like I am right.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. I am right.
And you feel the passion as you said that? This has happened in our home a million times.
So do that?
Yes.
It can only be done through the power of Christ.
Yes.
Because I want to win it.
And it's everything that Anna just said. With that same kind of passion, I'm feeling that inside oftentimes too. And that I have this fight to win personality, and I have a real strong sense of right, wrong.
Mm.
And so I can be wrong, but if I think I'm right, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, let me read how Shanti defined this surprising secret in her book, because it's, when you read it, you're like, who can do this? She says, highly happy couples quickly stop a negative train of thought or action, replacing unhappy or angry thoughts or actions with positive ones in order to change their feelings. I mean, a couple words in there to jump out quickly. Like, you don't go down this train very long. It's like, as soon as you start feeling those unhappy, the best couples in the world that really are satisfied in their marriage, it's almost like 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive. It's like, I got to grab that thought before it lands, and I got to get it now, or it's going to take us to a bad place. Is that what you do? Kristen and Maddie, I mean, is this work for you guys?
I think this is something we really struggled with, just because our own backgrounds, and maybe this is why Bobby and Rebecca have been so impactful. Neither of us really saw that, you know, in our own homes, parents like taking their thoughts captive. It really was just whatever you say or whatever you feel, you say, you know, and whatever emotion you have, you don't temper it. You just kind of yell or.
Yeah.
So you both had that in your families.
Yeah, I definitely grew up in a house where everything was just an explosion at times. Whenever we had an emotion or feeling, never really grew up learning how to control that. Mm-hmm. And also channel it in the right way. Mm-hmm. If something's bothering you, you yell. If something is annoying you, you could hit it. And my brother and I had fights all the time, and just to resolve our issues, and argued with my mom. And that's how I grew up, and that's all I knew. And every time that she had issues as well, we'd all argue it out. And it's nothing to do on her or her fault. It's probably how she grew up as well.
Right.
Yeah. And, well, I remember saying, I'm never going to do this when I get married. I'm never going to raise my voice. And it was like day one. Like, it's not an easy thing.
Have you been able to boss your feelings? Have you been able to?
Are you learning to
change that?
Yeah. It took us a while to figure out. I don't think we had the language for that yet. It really was just, we gave in to every feeling we had. And then, you know, as we got mentors and, you know, even here working at Family Life, learned that, you know, your feelings aren't fact, and the Lord does actually want you to be slow to anger and slow to speak and to control how you speak to your spouse, speaking life into them instead of speaking death. That's been something we still really are struggling with.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still learning, but it's becoming
easier.
Let
me ask you all this. Maybe, Rebecca, maybe you've done this. I didn't want to go to the Lord with all that I was feeling in my thoughts about Dave. Because I thought he'd temper it. And you guys, I wanted to let him loose and just go there to build my case. But I found that whenever I would go to the Lord and start complaining about Dave, I couldn't do it. I felt like he was always sticking up for him, or he'd allow me to see something great. I remember one time I'm just folding clothes and I'm going through all the things. I have my list like, Lord, can you believe that he did this and he does this? And I had this feeling that come through my mind, what would it be like if you prayed for him as much as you complained about him? And it was like this dagger. Have you found that, Rebecca, that when you go before God, it kind of puts a halt to some of that?
Yeah, and I don't think I've been very quick to do that, like Shanti had put in the description. There were times where, like, because I would consider myself, and we joke about this in our marriage group, that I'm like a mushy-gushy kind of person. Like, I have a very tender heart.
You do. It's beautiful.
And so whenever I got married to Bobby, I was thinking, oh, well, it's just going to be a mushy-gushy kind of thing. Yeah. Puppies and rainbows. And it's just going to be awesome all the time. And I knew that he was a man of God, it's going to be this fantastic, marvelous thing where we just feel mushy-gushy together all the time. And it wasn't that way. God made us two very different people. And there was a time where I didn't feel like I could share all of my mushy-gushiness and it be received, like we couldn't communicate on that level as well. God led me to start writing notes for him every morning and putting them in his lunch. And so I could kind of like put scripture to certain things and then also share my feelings, but it wasn't like all mush-gush all in his face.
Give us an example of one of those notes.
Oh, goodness.
Bobby, you might.
Do you remember one?
No.
I still have all of them. This was early in our marriage.
He is mushy-gushy.
I just have a hard time receiving it at first, you know, and it's like it feels overwhelming. But it was so special because she was super disciplined to have a little note in my lunch every single day. And it gave me God's word and just little thoughts of sweetness that she felt towards me that maybe she didn't feel as confident saying to me because of how I might react or not reciprocate her feelings back towards her in that time. Mm-hmm. And that was early in our marriage too. And I think a lot has changed since then in how we view each other and we'll speak towards each other. And yeah, mm-hmm. she still gets really mushy now. And I still have those like deer in the headlight moments when she starts bringing it on. But
like, do you feel like I don't know what to do with this?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't know what to do. I kind of lock up in the moment. I lock up in the moment. And, but she expresses her way in words.
Rebecca, do you feel like doing that was a little bit like what Jeff said? Did it sort of change your feelings because you're writing down positives?
Yes, because like I needed to be able to get out what I was feeling inside and I wanted to share them, but I couldn't share them in the way that was more natural for me. So whenever I went to the Lord and I would talk to him about it, it was like he gave me more of an avenue to share what was inside of me, but it not feel like it was just so strong.
Overwhelming.
I was like bubbling over into his space so much.
What a sweet gift of God to give you that idea.
You know, here's a thought I had. I'm guessing, you tell me if I'm even right. I could be completely wrong. There's a listener whose thought goes this way. If my husband or if my wife would do that, then I would love them. I would feel drawn to them. Rebecca, that's amazing. Bobby, of course he loves her. Look what she does. I think often when we hear those kind of stories, instead of going, I should do that, we go, why doesn't my spouse?
Or if you knew who I was married to,
yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't be writing those notes.
And I want to say to you, if you're thinking that, that's a natural thought. I get it, but I would say, do it. You do it. They may never do that, but you know what? I'm going to start doing that.
I'm going to boss my feelings.
I think it would change the way you feel about them. Just say, I'm going to initiate. Whether I get any reciprocation, I am going to initiate and show love and respect and honor. Man, what a beautiful thing to do.
We do it with other people, you know. I was with our grandkids, and this one little grandson, he's the best, but man, he was a handful that day. And I was so bothered by it. But when he went to bed, I said all the good things about him to him. This is who you are. This is who you're going to be. And it went totally contrary to my emotions. We can do it with people. We do it at work. We do it on our jobs. We might be really bugged or bothered by our boss, but we generally don't say those things.
What would you say? And we're sort of toward the end here. So any one of you can respond. But if you're thinking, okay, I don't feel it. And I'm sort of stuck. And you're telling me to boss and change my feelings. What would you say if somebody's asking you, like, how do I do that? I want to, but I can't. I'm just stuck. What comes to your mind? Like, what should they do?
I think it first starts with little things, very little things, and start with what you're given at the moment. Just take a step forward. I was talking with Maddie about this, and we're always moving. So if we're moving towards oneness, we're going in a direction that's going to be closer together in the long run, whether that's saying, I love you. I hope you have a great day. You're very important to me. I just want you to know that. That alone can just make it one step closer to oneness with each other. And that alone, I feel, creates a very strong marriage. And just building that stronger foundation for when the tough times do come.
If your thought process is marriage is based on my feelings, then you're in the wrong spot, because marriage is very much a choice. And that is in your vows. You know, I'm going to be with you for better or for worse. Not I'm going to be with you when we're in the good times. I'm going to be with you when it's hard and when I don't feel it, or when I think you don't deserve my love, I'm going to do it anyway, because, you know, that's what the Lord does for us. He died for us when we were still in sin, and He knows we're going to mess up again, but He didn't let that temper His action or Him going to that cross. And in the same way, you know, that's why marriage is the picture of, you know, the Lord's love for us. This is how you know the Lord deeper and you love Him deeper, and you can honor Him in dying to yourself and dying to your feelings and, laying down your life for your spouse.
That's wisdom from a woman in her 20s.
Amen.
Amen. Only because I have, you know, the best people around to learn from.
It's really good.
How about from a couple in their 25th year of marriage, 5 kids in the home, and parents? So you've got a
Yeah, house full. Nine people living in your home.
Any thoughts?
I've learned that my feelings cannot dictate reality, because no matter what I'm thinking or feeling, whether it's a mushy-gushy, bubbly feeling or whether it's really hard, like if I'm facing something hard, Bobby and I are not getting along, something is going on that's hard in our home with the kids or whatever, being able to realize my feelings are not reality, that the Lord can, whenever we're leaning on Him and asking Him to empty us and fill us with His Spirit, then He can guide us through what is really reality, what's really going on in front of us.
I realize that in our relationship, and not just in the big moments that define like shifting points in our marriage, like our marriage was in a rough place for many years and then it shifted into a sweet place. But even in the day to day, the simple little things like, is the toilet seat staying up or down? And we have an argument about it in year 25. And we're having an argument about it. And it's literally the little death and resurrection that has to take place in those little things in our relationship. And I start moving forward. As Christian was saying earlier, it's like, you know, a car can turn a whole lot easier if it's moving. Moving forward and starting to act out the very thing that I don't necessarily want to deal with in the middle of the night all the time and make sure it's down for her if she happens to come in the middle of the night. And but I start practicing it and doing it against my initial feelings of it, then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes like, I'm happy to.
You guys modeling what mentoring looks like is essential. As you're listening, I'm going to ask you, are you mentoring someone? If you've been married a while, you might not have a perfect marriage, but man, you've learned a lot. And also, do you have a mentor couple? If you're married less than 10 years, I don't know, 5 years, 2 years, it's essential that you have some other people that have been there, done that. And I'm going to add this too. If you need prayer for your marriage, reach out to us and we at Family Life will pray for you. We will pray for your marriage.
And we have a prayer team and they will pray for you by name.
Just go to familylife.com/pray for me.
Well, this is Family Life Today. We're David Ann Wilson, and you've been listening to a, you know, sort of a show where we had a reaction to another show. So we had these couples come in, and we just talked about, what do you think about this show? And that show was called Married with Benefits. It's on our Married with Benefits podcast. And you can listen to the full episode of that show anywhere you listen to your podcast. And it's also on YouTube, Family Life YouTube as well. So the book we were talking about is a great book by our friend Shanti Feldhahn. It's called The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, The Little Things That Make a Big Difference.
I love her stuff.
Yeah.
And we love them as a couple. I think you as a listener are going to love reading this and appreciate all the wisdom they bring into marriage.
Yeah, you can get your copy right now at familylifetoday.com. It's in the show notes, or you can give us a call at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800 F is in family, L is in life, and then the word today. And I hope you give us a call. This book is really life-changing. Another life-changing opportunity for you is to go to a marriage getaway. And ours is called The Weekend Remember. They're all around the country, and right now they're half off.
And this is the last day to get this conference at half off the registration price.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do in the next couple minutes, but I'm telling you what to do, all right? You listening? I'm telling you what to do. Today's it. This is your last chance to get 50% off, so you can't think, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. It'll be gone tomorrow. Today's your day. So go to familylifetoday.com, sign up for the Weekend Remember. And it, by the way, you can pick any Weekend Remember anywhere in the country. Maybe it's a chance to get out of your city and go away on a little destination weekend with your spouse and let God change your marriage. Again, that's familylifetoday.com. Sign up for the Weekend Remember.
And we'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry. helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.